Good evening. I call this meeting to order of the City Council. And Councilmember Fonzie, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Please join me in a pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we please have a roll call?
Councilmember Fonzie, here. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. And could I have an approval of the agenda with a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't see who made the motion. Thank you. And the second was? Thank you. Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is presentations, and our City Manager McKinney will be presenting Employee Service Awards.
Mayor and Council, this is always an exciting time for me to get to talk about our employees and present those to you that have a long tenure of service with us. I'd like to start this evening with Alan Baker. Alan is probably the employee I have the most fun with because he's a Kings fan and I'm a Lakers fan, and we fight all the time. But let me tell you, come on up, please, Alan. Alan is in charge of the Charles Pettuck Zoo. He's overseen the operation and improvements at the zoo for the last 10 years. He's been with us for 10 years. He came to us from Sacramento. He's professionalized the keeper staff, and he's hired experienced zookeepers with college degrees, professional training, started educational programs, and more. And we know there's been a lot of great improvements out at the zoo. We've been to a variety of ribbon cuttings. He's improved those exhibits. He's brought new animals for us to enjoy, including the red panda. And recently, the facelift has really been incredible. If you look at our website, the zoo is now the front page of our website, which means we've come a long ways. But with the real work, Alan has overseen us through two AZA zoo accreditations. And I've come to learn and appreciate that is quite a bit of effort getting through those accreditations. And we really appreciate the work from Alan. Thanks. Dave is our senior building inspector, and we all know he's one of our best-lauded employees. Dave, we always get compliments on Dave. I want to stack him up against any building inspector in the state, probably the country. Dave has done really great things for us. During his tenure, he's advanced the city's building department. You know, remember, Dave has advanced all the way through, too, primarily getting that training on his own. He's a dedicated employee known for his punctuality, knowledge. Frankly, as you council members know, and as I've heard many times, he's known for being at a job early and being at a job late if people need him in order to get a special delivery or a concrete pour or some work done. Dave's really been terrific in our department. He's also led some of the countywide and state programs. Dave, it doesn't say here, Dave, but you were just the president of the Building Inspectors Association for the last year and brought lots of training right here to Atascadero. So many times our council rooms here was filled with really high-quality training for the inspectors that Dave brought right here to Atascadero. It was really cool. He's been a key member of the Office of Economic Development. You ask Jim Lewis, you only hear great things about Dave. Dave has helped us get the Cowgirl open on time, the Calterra, many of the projects. We really appreciate what Dave's brought to our staff. And the next, I really enjoy, Matt Miranda has been with us 10 years already. Matt is our newest fire captain, and we all know that Matt, every other word says DRT. Matt has spearheaded the DRT disaster response trailer. He's tapped us all for some additional funding for that program. He's one of two Rescue System 1 instructors within the whole county. And to achieve the RS1 instructor status takes years of training and effort. Matt is an outstanding trainer and mentor. Matt leads with vision. He's a consummate planner, and he uses strategic planning to advance the fire department. Matt has been a terrific addition. It still just freaks me out that he went to high school with my son. But Matt is awesome, and we really appreciate all of the work, and especially around... Oh, okay. 17. Gee, mini Christmas, Scott. We're catching up with these awards, I think. Scott's one of the key leaders within the department. He's frequently mentoring and counseling reserve firefighters and fire personnel. He's been responsible for many of the improvements. Scott has been a mainstay in the department. He's really, in terms of our labor management relationships, he's been a go-to guy for the city manager's office in the fire service. Scott is a very great leader and a mature leader in the fire department. We really appreciate many, many things that Scott's done. Thanks, Scott. And lastly, let me present Chief Kurt Stone, 25 years with the city. Hey, Coach. Kurt has done it all. Kurt started as a high school cadet with the department. He's grown through the department, was fire captain when I came with the city and took on the chief's role more than 10 years ago now. Kurt has brought real strategic planning to the organization. He's brought us to the highest levels of training. I think many of you know that Kurt has served in many of the statewide offices, and only recently he's been asked to represent the California Fire Chiefs in our region. So now in the Ventura, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo region, Kurt represents all the fire chiefs, and he would be the connection to the state in a big emergency, would be Kurt Stone. Kurt has brought all sorts of things to the department and leadership. Many of us participated in the Emergency Management Institute training in Emmitsburg. We were one of only like a dozen cities a year that get the honor of going there. We've been doing some great work this year with ISO, and we're keeping our fingers crossed. We think we've done some superb work in the department. Just looking at the department in the last 10 years, we've got solid equipment, the truck, which we always wanted, and a lot of great folks. And Kurt, your leadership is really shown there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. On behalf of the City Council, we...
All right.
I'm not sure whether I'm comfortable with that.
You get a sticker, though. It's a little happy face sticker.
Give me a permanent key to the building.
Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the council or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Is there any council member that would like to pull an item from the consent calendar? Well, is there anyone in the public that would like to pull an item from the consent calendar? No. May I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is the updates from the city manager, Mr. McKinney.
Mayor and Council, a couple of really great news items. The first is Colby Jack is doing just great. They've been open for lunch, and they've been very busy. They announced now they're open for breakfast every day, and they'll begin serving dinner tomorrow. Update on the water issue. A couple of council members have had questions for me. We have reduced the water usage in our parks by 25%, which equated to reducing our bill so that we didn't experience any of the increase that was coming our way from the increase of the water company. We did have worked with the water company. We continue to work with their staff. We're taking advantage of their rebate programs, their conservation programs, and helping them coach us along the way as to the right actions to take with relative to the park. So we have enjoyed a relatively good experience working with the water company. And lastly, I have a couple of pictures. A couple of council members, both in the Assembly Gallery and in the Senate Gallery, and then with Senator Bob Huff, who's now the minority leader in the Senate. Last year, led the legislative efforts in favor of redevelopment. And we had an opportunity to talk with our own legislators and a variety of other legislators. Actually, Councilmember Sturdivant made us go to all of the offices in the Capitol. We visited every legislator. It was a really good trip last year or last week. We did hear a lot of information about redevelopment and some of the other policy issues, including the California Forward Initiative and pension reform that are taking up the time at the Capitol. I think we saw and learned a lot at the Capitol. Redevelopment. I went there thinking we had about a 10% chance to survive. Now I think we have about a 50% chance. I heard today that they anticipate the extension bill coming out of the speakers or out of the Rules Committee, excuse me, on Thursday. The news wasn't so hot from the governor, although the speaker, Mr. Perez, is trying to work with the governor, showing him some examples, and our council members provided examples to the speaker of exactly what's happening in cities for this redevelopment shutdown and what kinds of projects and employees were actually stopping by this turnoff of redevelopment. So it was a really great trip and a good opportunity to be in Sacramento again.
Fine, thank you.
I have a question. Hey, wait on the water company. We did negotiate with them about a rate change, and they determined that that wasn't a possibility. Is that right?
Yeah, in their charter, they can't treat any customers differently.
Okay, but I think it's great that we have reduced our water by
to the state address, and I think that Mayor Kelly and Councilmember Sturdivant can attest what we heard was that in that day the Moody's downgraded $11 billion of the state bond. The governor came on and said, California's back, we're coming alive. And an hour later, Assembly Speaker Perez signed on to the Padilla bill for extended redevelopment. So it sounded like a lot of what we heard was that legislators did not intend to eliminate redevelopment. It was really part of the governor's budget package. And they would like to put back something redevelopment or like redevelopment to continue the good work, the projects, and the economic development that redevelopment's done across the state.
Thank you.
Fine, thank you.
One other question. I had heard a rumor that actually revenues were up for the state of California this year, and it looks like their budget is looking a little better than expected. Can you confirm that?
Yes, it was sort of an interesting conversation. Once again, I think the mayor and council member could add to this. The state revenues, they have received $8 billion more than they anticipated. So, like, they were describing to us, some of the legislators, this isn't money they hope to get. This is money actually in their pocket. And one of them said, if you have $10, you really have $10. And we have $8 billion, and we really have $8 billion. But in the news, you're not hearing any of the change. They're still talking about a $20 billion hole, and they're still talking about the need for the tax issues. So it was very puzzling that, and what we heard was that this same thing happened last year, that there was not quite $8 billion. There was much less than $8 billion, but improved revenues and still spending problems.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the community forum. The community forum is reserved for persons wanting to address the city council in any manner not on the agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. We have turned the sound on the timer to assist speakers in knowing when their time is up. Please state your name for the record before making your comments. And I'd like to reiterate, this is not a question and answer period or a debating session. If you do have any questions that need to be answered, the city clerk will be taking notes and you can get in contact with her and we'll be more than happy to provide you with any information.
And there was suggestions, but some of our officials made statements to the effect that it would potentially secede from the IWMA, and I think that's really shooting from the hip. I think that would be a foolish move. You know, it's democracy. They held a vote. They made a decision. We, you know, I'm going to say we collectively because I tend to agree with the vote that our city took or postured in that I didn't feel comfortable with that ordinance. Nonetheless, the ordinance was placed into effect, but I don't think we should immediately lambast it and say that we're going to secede from that organization. I think that would not serve our city well at all. And I think in the future, if things like that happen, that we should not go down that road. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? If not, the community forum portion of the meeting is now closed. There will be no public hearings this evening. There are no management reports. Are there any council announcements or reports? Evidently not. We're getting down to committee reports. Okay, now we're at the committee reports. Are there any committee reports? Is there a restaurant review?
I'd like to piggyback on what Wade said. I did have lunch at Kobe Jack's. It was packed. It was great. Que paso, I was going to eat in there the other night. I tell you, couldn't get through the door. I mean, that place is totally packed. And it's really neat. They do the tortillas right out there in front of you. I mean, if you go in, it's amazing. And it's a first-class situation. Today I was in Paso. I had to go up to KPRL, and I was hungry, but I come back to Tascadero to eat, and I had a great sandwich at Macy's, and they really do a great job with their sandwiches. And what do we have, Jim, 58 restaurants in town?
I think we've grown past that now, so we've had several in the last year.
So here's what I'm saying. Let's stay at home and eat, and let's get people from the outside to come and visit our wonderful restaurants here. They're really, really great. Thank you.
Well, on top of that, there's also a lot of real nice eating establishments downtown, and I think Tom and I go down there. We also visit Woody's Old Time Barbershop.
That's right.
And you can get yourself a real nice haircut down there at a fair price. Are there any other committee reports?
I would like to just briefly provide a little follow-up on the...
Some things that are a concern to me are that some of the programs we've talked about, we may not actually be doing to the extent that I thought we were. There's a lot of charges on our local businesses for battery recycling, for example. As it turns out, we are charging fees for that, but batteries aren't actually recycled. They're just taken to a different dump. Now, to actually do a recycling program, it would take some more thinking and effort. I have been talking with Paso Robles leaders and Templeton leaders, and as in any due diligence that we do, I think we need to look at the possibility that there might be some lower cost alternatives for our community. Truly, there may be some alternatives on recycling and other items that, again, if we could provide a lower cost to our local residents and greater service in the areas that we would like to see, including recycling programs, then I think we should definitely consider that. And that's something we may be looking at down the road. I do think there's some very valuable programs IWMA does. I personally have been involved with their food waste recycling or using worms to process food waste, and that is actually expanding in the business sector. Morro Bay is looking at a major operation possibly with their fishery industries, and I'm looking at possibly expanding for our restaurants in our area, a possibility that at no cost to our community and expanding that program. So there are some pluses, but I wouldn't want folks to think that we do any knee-jerk response to just because we don't feel like we got our way on a particular issue, but we are always examining on these regional boards what's best for our community. And if there's some lower cost alternatives to achieve the same goals at a lower cost for our community, we're going to look at them. And I think there's some real possibilities in this area we'll consider in the future.
Could I piggyback on
that? Thank you. Sure.
Yeah, I was at the IWMA meeting when they did the vote, and, you know, I spoke against the plastic bag ordinance. And one thing that was said there quite often was that put it to the vote of the people. And, you know, just thinking about that, it would be nice on the June ballot if we did an advisory vote, let the people of Atascadero make a decision on whether they want this plastic bag ordinance enforced, where there will be no plastic bags in the stores. Personally, I would like to see education. I think we can reduce the number of plastic bags and paper bags that we use.
This is for job creation, economic development, and they listened, and that was really encouraging to me. So just stay tuned, because it's a very fluid environment up there and everything that's going on, and they don't even know half of how much money they've got coming in and how much money they got going out. So it's going to be quite a process as they work through all this. And we're here just the ability to be able to just show how good it can work when it's used properly and legally. It was just an awesome experience to be able to represent the city like that. So we had a great time, and more to come. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Chair?
Piggybacking on the reports here, I was wondering if I could get a little help from staff on this. I sit on the Air Pollution Control District, and we're going to be reviewing greenhouse gas standards in March. And it's been a very controversial issue. I think the city probably should take a position on it. It's going to affect our city down the road. So I don't know whether it would be helpful or even lawful to have the city provide us with an errata sheet. Perhaps Russ could help us out. I'm sure you've reviewed it in December. But it is a big thing that's coming before the entire county. I will be sitting on the board and voting on it, and I think it would be helpful if the city council were given a copy of some information on that greenhouse gas standards.
That's good.
They're setting the standards. It will be enforced for each city. It'll be for different localities. It's actually a far-reaching reduction to work with the greenhouse gases and reduce them with the climate action plan.
I see. And what kind of teeth are they going to have in this?
That would probably be better coming from Russ, how it would affect the city, our city in particular.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
Great. Thank you.
Be nice to know.
Now is the time for individual determinations and or actions. Does the city council members have anything to say? City clerk? City treasurer? City attorney?
Not tonight.
City manager? With that, I'll adjourn this meeting of the city council, and I'll turn it over to Chairperson Fonzie for the Redevelopment Agency.
Thank you, Mayor Kelly. I'd like to call the special meeting of the Community Redevelopment Agency to order. Could I have a roll call, please?
Board Member Kelly?
Here.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Sturdivant?
Here.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Here.
All present.
Thank you, Marcia. Seeing none, I'll close the community forum and bring it back for approval of the consent calendar. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask if anybody in the public would like to pull an item off the consent calendar. Excuse me. Seeing none, we have a motion by Councilmember Sturdivant, second by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call vote, please.
Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Sturdivant?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia. We have no public hearings tonight. We do have a management report, and this is consideration of resolution to amend enforceable obligation payment schedule pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 34169G. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chairperson Fonzie and board members. As you just stated, the item before you tonight is a resolution to amend the enforceable obligation payment schedule for the redevelopment agency. We will be recommending that you adopt the draft resolution, which adopts the amended, what we call EOPS, Enforceable Obligation Payment Schedule, which is a mouthful, which is part of the, which is one of the things that's, or acts that is required as part of AB1X26 or that. I'll go through a little bit of history and background. AB1X26 and AB1X27 were adopted by the state legislature on June 29, 2011. In July, the California Redevelopment Association filed a lawsuit, and as a result of that lawsuit, there were some stays issued to not implement parts of that. In August, part of AB1X27, we were allowed to adopt a pay-to-play, which was basically if the redevelopment agency agreed or the city agreed to pay a certain amount, we would allow the redevelopment agency to continue operations into the future. The city council did adopt that ordinance at that time. However, and in August, we also adopted, the city council adopted our EOPS, or the redevelopment agency board, I apologize, adopted an EOPS. In September, we were required to adopt an ROPS, which is the required obligation payment schedule. And then in December, the Supreme Court ruled on the CRA's lawsuit. And what they decided to do was uphold AB1X26, which abolished redevelopment, but find AB1X is that you must amend the enforceable obligation schedule. This amendment is to bring that payments through June and to amend July through December to what actually we paid out. The enforceable obligation payment schedule is basically a list of obligations estimated by month for July through June. And these are how much will the redevelopment agency or its successor agency have to pay in each of those months. It's not how much was incurred or expensed in that month, but how much will they have to pay. We are also including all other obligations. Some obligations are not necessarily payments, but are requirements. You want to list those on the enforceable obligation schedule also. The enforceable obligation schedule has to be sent to the Department of Finance, to the County Auditor Controller, and will be provided to the successor agency, which is the city. It's then going to be used by the city to pay obligations of the agency. We developed or came up with the items that are on the enforceable obligation schedule by examining all contracts, grants, lease obligations, CC&Rs, and expenditures of the redevelopment agency and going through those line item by line item with the city attorneys. There is an understanding that there is expected to be a lot of clarifying law in the next few months that should come through. This was done very quickly by the courts. There's a lot of questions still out there. There's a lot of potential litigation. Know of at least two suits that may have a large impact on this, depending on that. So we expect this to be evolving over the next few months as we know more. But this is where we think we are right now by going through the existing legislation, the wording, and working with our attorneys. What's next? Basically, as I said, we hand this off to the city, the redevelopment agency does. They will develop a required obligation payment schedule that's due to the oversight board by May 1st. And then in the meantime, we'll be using this schedule to make payments until that can be approved. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I know there's a lot of acronyms and back and forth, but that's really the way the legislation is set up. And so it's confusing, but that's what it is.
Thank you, Rochelle. Are there any questions? I know I've had some calls from members of the public, and they're wondering about the old city hall, that this is going to be on the EOPS list, I'm sure.
Your expenditures are not. We have not contracted for construction of that project, and therefore it's not on the enforceable obligation schedule at this moment in time.
I did. So you said tunneled. What about the bridge, the pedestrian bridge?
I'm sorry. It's a pedestrian bridge. I misspoke.
Okay, very good. And when we get done with this and it goes to the successor agency, will there be any surplus?
There will be funds, or we expect that there will be funds remaining from the RDA that will be available to be distributed to the other taxing agencies. That is one of those things where we think there will be a lot of clarifying law as to when that transfer happens. And how all of that works. We were on a conference call today with auditor controller, basically county auditor controllers throughout the state and California Redevelopment Association, trying to figure out the language in the legislation and what does that mean and how does it work in practicality. But it is expected there will be surplus that we will be distributing to taxing agencies.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Councilmember Clay.
Yes, the other transfer agencies, could you list them for me and the public?
It's going to be the Atascadero Unified School District. At this point, we do not expect a big windfall for them. What that does is reduces the state's obligation to Atascadero Unified School District, but they will remain whole. Atascadero Cemetery District, the County of San Luis Obispo, and various boards and items under there. County Office of Education, although they are a basic aid district, we're not sure how the legislation means whether they will receive any funds because they actually receive what they would have received anyways if the RDA didn't exist.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Rochelle, your dad was on KPRL today. Now, he's working for nothing. I'm sure you're not willing to do that, right? It's nice that he's providing a service to the seniors and others that to do their taxes and stuff. And,
thank
it was a very interesting interview.
Very good. Since we have no other questions, we need an action, and the recommendation is that the agency board adopt the draft resolution. Well, this is a management report. Would I open this to the public?
Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and open it to the public. Anybody like to speak on this item?
Good evening, Council. My name is 16, and it lists office expenses, postage, legal notices, computer costs, phone costs, operations, professional development, direct staff time, and general overhead. The following item deals with blight reduction and economic growth contracts, and it refers to tourism, marketing, promotion, downtown enhancement, maintenance, and beautification. I'm trying to determine, I'm assuming that I can get that information through a public records request. I'm interested in the specific vendors. And then the other issue that I wanted to clarify was, I think it was on September 24th at the meeting, there was some monies appropriated for the, I know it was for the purchase of the property, for the pedestrian bridge. I think there was some monies for the pedestrian bridge as well. It was well over $700,000. And it seems to me that that money was taken out of the general fund, and so I'm trying to determine if those monies, that $700,000 plus, is incorporated in this enforcement obligation payment schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go ahead with the questions. This is regarding the admin of the agency and vendors. Is that information available, Rochelle?
That line item is for the successor agency under the legislation must develop a budget and then present that budget to the oversight committee for that administrative cost. Obviously, because that budget has not been developed and it has not been presented to the oversight committee for approval, We don't know exactly who we're going to pay and how much. That is a responsibility of the successor agency. It is not a responsibility of the redevelopment agency. And so this is part of the normal process.
So shall we assume, and this would be for Mr. Pyrick, that since this is a public agency, the successor agency would have that information available through the Public Information Act?
Well, the information will be available, yes.
Yes, thank you. So it would be not through the city, apparently. You'll have to go to the successor agency, if I'm understanding this. And let's just go with this one more question, and then we'll go to you, Jim, just to keep it very clear. Our last one is regarding money for property purchased for the pedestrian bridge, about $700,000 or so. Was that taken out of the general fund or spent?
There was a purchase of property for the pedestrian bridge, Centennial Plaza. It was about $133,000, I believe. It is on this enforceable obligation payment schedule, along with other expenses incurred for the pedestrian bridge through
December 13th, per saying that they didn't want their tax dollars going to an interchange that would help our city. We're losing $3 million a year that could bring improvements to the city, that have brought improvements to the city with the streetscape downtown, the new bridge, the sun gardens, all that. And I'm just very disappointed in my fellow citizens who talk out of one side of their mouth about their tax dollars but aren't here tonight to help defend and fight for it and contact our state legislatures or the thief governor that we have. So, you know, whatever we can do as a RDA, keep doing whatever funds are left, you know, use them wisely. And, you know, I know that if I remember right, there's going to be some kind of payment we're going to have to make to the state every year, you know, another, I would call that blackmail anyway. But whatever we have to do going forward, just, again, whatever we do, make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's so, you know, you can keep people at bay and provide you whatever information they want. You know, it doesn't matter what you do, they're still going to be coming after you. I'm talking about that local group here that seems to be against everything you do anyway. But just do everything the right way, please. Be upfront with that. Always be open to the public. Always. You do a good job of that. You guys take a lot of hits that you don't deserve. Again, I'm going to speak for a lot of citizens in this community. You're doing a heck of a job, not only as an RDA, but as a city council as well, and as a city staff and the people that work under you guys. So I'm here to be positive and not negative. Anybody can be negative and tear people down. That's easy. Anybody can do that. And throw out accusations and threats and all that. That's easy. You know, but I'm here to tell you that a lot of the community loves what you're doing, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Anybody else in the audience wish to speak on this item? If not, I'll close this item to the public and bring it back. Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, could we clear up one thing? We no longer have to make that large payment to the state, right? That's down the tubes, too. Why don't you explain that, Rochelle?
Yes, the payment required under AB 1X 27, the pay-to-play, or as we fondly called it, the ransom payment, all of that was struck down. So we do not, the redevelopment agency will not be making that payment. Instead, they will be turning over assets to the successor agency and dissolving.
And that was struck down by the California Supreme Court.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Board Member O'Malley, second by Board Member Sturdivant. Roll call vote.